Hello, welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, host Evan Sedran with my co-host Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSedran. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. Also, follow our Locked On Suns Twitter page if you haven't already at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support is very much appreciated, as always. Brendan, we're joining you live from Talk Series Arena, as we always do for home games here for the Phoenix Suns. They lost tonight 124-121 to the Washington Wizards, falling to 17-59 on the season, but 50-point game from Devin Booker, the first time I asked him just a couple minutes ago, first time he's ever done that in his career, he's had back-to-back 50-point games on any level. So 50 points, following up this 59-point game in Utah on 19 of 29 shooting. What words are there to say at this point about Booker? Because I think, like you mentioned on Monday's show, I think we're seeing the best stretch. I think we're seeing really peak Booker right now.
Yeah, it's pretty much undeniable, I feel like, especially I noticed on the Suns actually gave a little chart of what the top scorers, maybe it was like the top 10 individual scoring performances in the history of the franchise. Obviously, Tom Chambers is at number two, Booker's at number three here, and then now he's at number four as well. So, but after that Boston game when he scored 70, he's only scored 23. So, I mean, it's at this point, it's not even comparable. We already said the 59 was more impressive than 70, and this one now right up there as well. So just doing it the way he's doing it, making shots over multiple guys basically every time he gets the ball, and especially considering how frequently we've wondered about not only like his athleticism and his burst, but you know, his handle, his just physical maturity, the fact that he's only 22 still and doing this, not at peak physical shape, and that he's able to get by guys, bust through the defense, finish at the rim the way he's doing it. I mean, that's what's impressed me most.
Yeah, I'm just looking more at his box score right here. He only made 3 3-pointers tonight. That's less than it was in Utah for sure. And then you'll see the free throw attempts, it was 10. I think that's 8 less than it was in Utah as well. So, again, I mean, this is giving the 59 game a run for its money. I mean, as far as efficiency goes, 50 points on 29 shots. I mean, that's Harden. I mean, sometimes Harden struggles to do that.
Yeah, well, Harden takes a million threes every game, so that makes it a little easier on him. But, I mean, I think that does speak to a level of shot-making ability that is unique, and making just some weird moments in the night as well for him when he there was one where he front-rimmed it, and it bounced right back to him at the free-throw line, and he followed his own miss. Weird play where there was almost there was like multiple steals at half court going either way, and then he stays around their basket and ends up getting 50, a little easy layup right there. So not fluky, but just kind of, I think, definitely shows that he had the hot hand, had that feeling going. But obviously he's our first free throw for the night, our first positive, of course, really the main one, but pretty solid game overall. To only lose by three, I think everybody stepped up. We had four other guys in double digits instead of zero tonight.
That was a nice change of pace to actually see some guys contribute around Devin Booker this time, allowing him to get 50 instead of 59. So at least in this kind of game, it didn't really matter as far as points go, as far as Booker's proficiency. I mean, really, in this game, you needed all 50 points from Booker if they were even going to win this game. Unfortunately, they didn't. But I was going to ask Booker this question at the end there. I knew his answer probably would have been like, oh, this is just a weird question to ask. But I mean, I wanted to ask you from your point of view, is this the most confident we've ever seen Devin Booker at right now in his point of his career? Because I feel like he's mastered, like I said on the last show, he's mastering everything as far as all levels of the court right now, free throws, three-point proficiency, two-point proficiency. It just seems like when he's matched up against anyone on the court right now, it seems like he can just go by him and be like, hey, I can go by you with no problem. I can really be – I'm almost unguardable at this point is pretty much what I'm trying to say.
He is. I think unless you can force him to turn the ball over or willingly just pass it, which, you know, happens sometimes because of the attention he's getting, there's just open guys. And so we see him give up the ball, and even then the guys aren't always hitting. So we also see him then not do that, on especially as the game goes on and he realizes that it is going to take everything he can give. We've seen him kind of keep the ball. So I think he has that level of confidence and understanding of his own abilities and where he's at physically, just kind of everything kind of locking in right now. And I think he would say the same thing. I mean, I'm really excited, and we talked about it a little bit on Monday, but not only to see him doing it now, but I think there is something to doing it at the end of the year to build momentum into the season. I mean, and last season to basically, you know, between the season-ending injury last season and the season-starting injury this season, he lost all momentum, and we saw that really affect his game. So if he can stay healthy this year and keep doing this for the last six games, I think that just opens up another summer of growth and then hit the ground rolling next year.
I think he did mention when Gina Mazzell asked him in the locker room there, it's health as far as what's going on with him. And he mentioned that. He mentioned this is by far the healthiest he's been all season, and the numbers prove it right now, back-to-back 50-point games. And you have the Cavaliers and the Grizzlies coming up here. Could be an opportunity for him to go three or four straight games of 40 or 50-plus.
I don't even know who the Cavs two-guard is, so I think that goes to show the kind of opportunity he'll have on Monday. So Saturday, I mean, I think we've seen the Grizzlies not do much against him several times this year already, but, if we want to move on to our second free throw here, I think for me, it's Dragan Bender, a guy who everybody seems to be glowing about right now. I mean,
best game of his career.
I don't know. I think I've seen better, but I think topping off the stretch of play he's had where he's just, I think what's been most impressive about him, I mean, is his box score is nothing special, 12 and 6 tonight, two blocks, which is always great to see for him, but above all the numbers, which are never going to be fantastic, he's never going to put up a 30 and 15 game or anything, but just to see him capably fill a role and do what he's supposed to be doing out there, and, you know, at his age and with the lower expectations we have to have for him now, I think the ability to go out there, move his feet on defense, make some threes is perfect, and showing that he does have a place in the league.
I was talking with you and Dave King in the locker room before we spoke with Booker, and just it just seems like, from my point of view, it's just weird for me, not weird, so to say, but just like interesting to follow the Bender's improvements right now, because does it matter in the end? I mean, I feel like he's going to be a guy who's an unrestricted free agent that they decline his fourth-year option. I just feel like this improvement at the end of the season is all for naught from a Suns standpoint, and that someone else is just going to pick him up. But what's your feelings on that as far as Bender's improvements over the last couple weeks? Is he actually earning a spot here as far as long-term, at least for next year and beyond?
I would guess probably not. I just think they have their sights a little bit higher than that, taking another year where you expect them to have even more talent on the roster. Yeah. It took injuries and a lost season to even get him on the court this year. If you imagine next year, they have another power forward in the rotation and a better overall just depth across the roster. I wouldn't imagine that he has a spot, but I mean, from his personal, you know, that's not necessarily the point of our show, but grander context, I think the fact that he's doing this has cemented at least the fact that he'll get an opportunity somewhere. I think at one point this year you could have wondered if he would even get a contract or if he'd be playing in summer league for his career. And I think now it would surprise me if a team that plays a style that suits him well doesn't go and at least give him like a Shaq Harrison type of contract where if he plays well, he'll get money. And I imagine he will, because we're seeing him do a role player. And I think that's what he needs to be.
Yeah, 4 of 6 from the night, 3 of 5 from three. If Bender's hitting his shots, he's been not doing that all year. I think it's just been flat all year for him so far. I think that changes his outlook just slightly a little bit. He's probably just a role player at this point for any team that he goes to. But interesting nonetheless that Bender had one of his best nights of his career, even though it is in the final stretch possibly of his career at the Phoenix Suns. But from my point of view, I wanted to go to my second free throw here. DeAndre Ayton, who in 27 minutes he put together 14 points, 10 rebounds, a couple block shots as well. And as well, he also had an assist. So what do you think about Ayton's night as well? He passed Alvin Adams, who Booker, by the way, lauded some praise Ayton's way. Didn't want to forget him in the rookie of the year race when asked about him. Said Luka and Trier having great years, but he said Ayton might be having the most underrated rookie season of all time as far as 16 points, 10 rebounds, 60% shooting. It's true you don't ever see that. And do you agree with Booker's point of view that Ayton really is kind of getting very slept on for a number one pick?
Yeah, I think he's getting overlooked just because he's not. I mean, there was a game this year that Trae Young put up 49 and 16. You know, it's silly to compare because Ayton's not a creator. It's not his role nor his skill set, so it wouldn't be reasonable to expect that, which I think still some fans are, as we've touched on plenty of times this year. So I agree, and I think, you know, especially from Booker's perspective, getting to see the level of improvement over the course of the whole season has to really stand out in his eyes. I definitely understand where he's coming from there. I think Suns fans do have an appreciation for Ayton over, you know, the national conversation for sure. And he got lucky with all rookie. I feel like Wendell Carter and Jaren Jackson both missed like half the year. So and Bagley was injured for quite a while as well. So I think Ayton will be a surefire in there. That's nice, you know, awards wise for him. But I think tonight for me, overall, he had a little bit of a rocky game. I think the thing that stood out, if we were gonna point out the positives, is just he made some reactive defensive plays that I think have become more commonplace for him, and that's good to see. It would have been, he had a couple plays today that would have been like eye-opening in December, and now they're more frequent. And I think also the fact that he started 1 of 6 from the field and made 5 of his last 7, so that's good too. You know, he was just missing layups and little bunnies at will, so responding and putting up some better production in the second half. Didn't play crunch time, which is I'm sure frustrating for him, but not altogether surprising. Washington was getting whatever it wanted at the rim, so I think he was plenty of the reason for that. But overall, responding and not shutting down, which is what we've seen from him a lot, was good.
Outside of rim protection, I know there were some moments we'll get into probably in a few minutes here with Thomas Bryant getting that buzzer beater, near buzzer beater there at the end over a guy like Rashawn Holmes, and DeAndre Ayton also had a struggle with Thomas Bryant a little bit tonight. But off the ball, reactionary instinctual sequences that I'm seeing defensively, I feel like you're talking about the same thing here. It seems like those kind of moments are becoming normal, but in October, November, I don't think those ever would have come about.
Yeah, I mean, you think you compare it to the Magic, that overtime from the Magic that we kind of all think of as a little bit of a turning point where it started to click for him. And I think, you know, honestly, if I were to go back and watch that game and watch this game, I think it would look pretty similar. I think that shows the level of growth that he's had, where that game sticks out because it was so night and day from where he was. But I think he's improved so much that he probably played as well tonight as he did that night. So I think you're right. And not only, you know, rotating to protect the rim was when it stands out, but I think he's done a good job, you know, cutting off passing lanes for cutters and just moving around in the paint. I think he's much more comfortable getting into that center mindset on defense. But last free throw for us here would be Troy Daniels. Been getting time recently, but shooting hasn't shown up, and tonight it definitely regressed in a big way in the positive direction for him. So really good to see 15 points, 5 rebounds, got a wide open shot at the buzzer there and missed it, but I think the rhythm's back for him, so we might get to see a little bit more shot making, make life a little easier on Devin Booker going forward.
Now, this is just me, like, very nitpicky right now, just because Booker went for 50 points. He went for 59 on Monday. But are you surprised that Igor drew up the main option being Troy Daniels on that, where Booker went for 50? Or, I mean, when you have a 45% catch-and-shoot guy and you have another 40% catch-and-shoot guy, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's easy to say. I think they were both hot, though, you know what I mean? And I think Igor knew getting the ball to Daniels, especially away from where the majority of the screening action was happening, he knew that that would crack open that way. And I mean, I was honestly worried going back in my mind a little bit when that play was unfolding. I was worried, are they even going to be able to inbound the ball? We've seen a lot of times where they try to force it to Booker on inbounds plays and they turn it over. Yeah. So, you know, Igor always says, I would do it the same way if I could, because I think he's just a confident person, especially when it comes to drawing up plays. That's his bread and butter. So I don't actually have too big of an issue with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when you have just two elite shooters like that, whoever is the most open is going to get the ball at the end there. But you see Trey Daniels play 22 minutes tonight. I think we just wrap up on this point with him. Okoba played 10 minutes. Crawford, oh, wow, he played 30 minutes. I didn't even notice that. But Jimmer played 0 minutes tonight, which is a nice change of pace after what happened in Utah on Monday. But are you surprised just with how Daniels getting these minutes recently? And even though he's a guy like Dragan Bender who could be having the best part of his career right now, but it might be in a different uniform in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of how it goes, right? I mean, I think the Wizards could say the same thing. They saw Jordan McRae score 21 out of nowhere. Jabari Parker, both of those guys are facing big questions about what kind of contract they'll be getting in different directions. Of course, those guys aren't comparable, but I think that's just how it goes. And I think if we assume that Daniels was the one who had the conversation with the front office in that ESPN story about getting more playing time, which I think is fair to assume, he's benefiting and he'll get to be paid, and we'll all enjoy watching him actually get to play good basketball and space the floor for somebody, Russell Westbrook or something, and we'll all be like, finally he gets to kind of do it in a real way.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Troy Daniels next year wherever he lands. I think he'll be on in a winning environment helping produce some wins. But before we go on to our next one here, I want to tell you guys really quickly about our Locked On NBA Twitter account. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and give us a follow at Locked On NBA Net. I know you guys love our coverage here on Locked On Suns with both Brent and I's Twitter accounts synced on at Locked On NBA Net. But if you haven't already done so, if you want more of a national taste of the NBA, go ahead and give us a follow at Locked On NBA Net on Twitter.
I want to also remind you guys about Homie. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in this 2019, take advantage of Homie. They are going to save you a ton of money. They're going to support you every step of the way. They're going to make what can be a complicated and scary process very simple. Just $1,500 to list and sell your home with Homie, and also qualify for a $5,000 buyer refund on the back end. So the savings are massive. The support is right there when you need it, and you won't feel any sort of stress. To learn more about my friends at Homie, text Homie, that's H-O-M-I-E, to 88588. Again, that's Homie, H-O-M-I-E, to 88588. All right, let's move on here to flagrant fouls, some guys who didn't play so well. And I would actually go with, it's so tough because Mikhail is so consistent. Every time I want to say him because he doesn't shoot well, I remember like three different defensive plays where he was really locking down on Beal at the end, forced
awesome
a few
too.
Turnovers there, so, and five assists. So maybe not him. But I would say Rashawn Holmes was the other guy that I noticed fouled out of the game, and that was why Ayton came in for like the last 30 seconds or so of crunch time. I don't really quite necessarily know why Holmes played crunch time. I don't feel like he was particularly better than Ayton, but I think sometimes the effort and energy is better than Ayton, who it's very hot and cold as far as what the defense comes. But I don't know. I guess I would go with Holmes just because they were getting what they wanted in crunch time there. Beal went off in the fourth quarter. Obviously, that last pass to Bryant, there wasn't really great positioning there. That might have been Ayton, to be honest, but just – inconsistencies. I really thought the rim protection was lacking today, and Holmes was a reason why.
Kind of glad he did, because it perfectly segued into my next point here, kind of tying it all together, and that's the defense on Thomas Bryant, who was 7 of 16. He had 19 rebounds. He had 18 points, 19 rebounds, three assists. He also had a steal and a block tonight in 40 minutes. Again, just Thomas Bryant, a guy who I'm familiar with. I grew up in Indiana. Thomas Bryant went to school at the University of Indiana, so I watched a ton of him before I moved up to Arizona, and I never thought he'd be a guy on the NBA level who's putting up 20 and 20 in the number one pick in the draft, or a guy like Rashawn Holmes. And credit to Thomas Bryant for another great game, but I think that's the reason why they lost this game, was crashing the glass and also protecting the rim.
How many times have we said that this year?
About 50 times.
Yeah, too many. And I just feel like, you know, at first it was – I think my hypothesis was that it was veterans who Ayton struggled with, and that's true, but I think even more so than just saying veterans, it's just strong players. Like, anyone that's just physically overwhelming like that, despite what we all, some of us here locally, said about Ayton being perfectly physically ready for the NBA, the reality is I don't think any rookie center is ready for the NBA, and we're seeing that. Bryant is very young. This is his first kind of real season in the league, but even just that little bit of experience, he was multiple years in college as well, and just a big physical player, and he's dominated Ayton twice this season already. Obviously, Ayton had a great game last time, but it's not like you would look at this matchup and watch out for Thomas Bryant, but here we are, just because he's just gives effort and is super duper strong.
Yeah. Looking at the Wizards box score here, outside Bryant, Bradley Beal put up 28 points, 11 of 22 shooting. Also, Jeff Green put up 21. Jabari Parker put up 28 off the bench. So those two guys really went off for the Wizards tonight in a game where they needed all those 124 points from all those guys. But let's go on to our stat to watch here, Brent, and I'll let you start first.
Yeah, I'll go with I was going to go with the rebounding, but I think that we kind of just hit that. So I'll go the free throws overall. So the Suns were more efficient than normal, led by Devin Booker with 9 of 6, and Holmes got to the line like he was early in the season, 6, and he made 5. So 81%, 21 of 26 for the Suns at the line. But not only did they allow 43 to the Wizards, just up and down, everybody on the roster was getting to the line. 10 for Parker, 12 for Thomas Satoransky, which is bizarre, 5 for Jordan McRae. But the Wizards only made 29, 67% from the line. So just it's not even like any of that necessarily dictated the outcome, just a really weird discrepancy kind of from every angle there that stuck out to me throughout the game.
Yeah, it really just, it stands out to me as well, just all these random numbers in this game. I know the Utah game was weird just from a viewing standpoint with the Jimmer and Booker angle, but I wanted to focus in on Booker here just for a second. I wrote my whole recap dedicated to Booker just getting 50 points. Just we're in a season where the Suns have 17 wins. So I think we should just focus a little bit more on the positives that are happening. And I think Devin Booker kind of peaking right now is a super fun thing to watch. 50 points. I also put up 4 assists on 19 of 29 shooting.
Did you enjoy Kobo's 10 minutes? That wasn't your focus tonight?
No, unfortunately not. He did not get the sidebar treatment. But Booker in this game became the fourth guy over the last 25 years. I was doing some really interesting number diving on Basketball Reference at halftime here. I'm glad. I was very worried at the end that Booker wasn't going to get 50. I had to rewrite my entire story there. But he put up the first time in the last 25 years. Excuse me, not the first time in the last 25 years. He's the fourth guy in the last 25 years joining Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, and James Harden, who's done it this year as well, for guys who have put up back-to-back 50-point games. And I think that just speaks to the level that Booker's playing at and also the level that Booker could eventually get to.
Yeah, it's crazy, the company that he's in. And I think those numbers stand out to me more because that's a genuine accomplishment that has nothing to do with. I think a lot of the numbers that people pull out are notable partially because of him being so young. And he was, we should also say, the youngest player ever to do that. But that one doesn't actually – that's crazy to hear because there's plenty of young players who have had the whole team to themselves and take as many shots as they want, and no one else can say that they did this. So it is an accomplishment. But the non-age-related stuff I think stands out to me more because – at a certain point, it's like, I don't really care that he's 22. He's great, and we know that. So the fact that he did something when he was 22 that other people have done when they're 30 doesn't make a difference. But to see him put in comparison, you know, think about the company he's in that did that, but also all the players that aren't on that list. The great scorers, Tracy McGrady or, you know, Steve Nash even, like the amazing guards that we've seen in the league or anyone that's come through that hasn't ever done 50 back-to-back. Michael Jordan did it 3 games in a row, which is just anytime you see a stat and then Michael Jordan comes into play, okay, well, screw it. But it's just wild. I mean, we are really seeing something special.
Yeah, that's for sure. And just shout out to Sports Illustrated as well for them putting out a video today saying, is Devin Booker actually good at basketball? And he follows up a 59-point game with a 50-point game after that came out. So
yeah, you know who else is not on the list of people who have done that ever? Lou Williams.
Yeah, that is who he was compared to today. So discount Lou Williams with 50 points, back-to-back 50 points. Just kidding on the discount Lou part. You guys know that. But Devin Booker putting up some magnificent numbers of the final stretch of the game. Might be seeing a historic run for the final stretch of the season here for the Phoenix Suns, led by Devin Booker. Even though in a loss, the Suns end up 124-121, 17-59 on the season now. Until then, guys, we'll talk to you later for our next episode.